Gentlemen, if you're listening to this podcast episode within a few days of its release, I want to let you in on something very special that's happening this coming Wednesday, September 28th, 2022. I'll be running a masterclass called Comedy Clinic, the superpower of knowing how to make women laugh. Yes, gentlemen, you may know very few guys who know how to do this effectively, but you know those guys make women love, love, love them almost instantly. Listen, you can be really good on a guitar or a piano, but you'd have to lug that instrument with you everywhere you go and take a whole lot of time to learn how to play it right. Or maybe you've got a really sexy accent from a place like Italy, Australia, or Ireland. But if you're an American like me and you're stuck in America, good luck with that also. That's the beauty of knowing comedy and knowing how to make a woman laugh. It's completely portable. And no, gentlemen, you don't have to be a stand-up comedian. You simply have to know what humor is, how to make it happen, even all around you, and most importantly, how to make women laugh. All of that and more is going to be revealed this coming Wednesday, September 28th at 8 o'clock Eastern Time, and you should be there for it. To pick up your ticket, simply go to mountaintoppodcast.com/masterclass and get you some. I look forward to seeing you there live with a whole bunch of other guys. We're going to be interacting and, of course, having a lot of fun doing it. You betcha. And now, here comes that second part on the retrospective of the first 9 episodes of the Chick Whisperer podcast way back in 2007. Enjoy it, gentlemen.
Live from the mist enshrouded mountaintop fortress that is X and Y Communications headquarters, you're listening to the world famous Mountaintop Podcast. And now, here's your host, Scott McKay.
Oh, how's it going, gentlemen? Welcome to yet again another episode of the world famous Mountaintop Podcast. As always, I am your host, Scott McKay. And what do you know? Here we are with part 2 of our retrospective on the first 9 episodes of the Chick Whisperer show from all the way back in 2007. This is, of course, in honor of our 15-year anniversary doing this show, and it has been a continuous production, gentlemen. A few years ago, it changed names. It became the Mountaintop Podcast. And the reason why we did that is because we weren't only talking about how to understand and succeed with women anymore. We were talking about a lot of other men's issues, how to be a great man, how to be a man of character, how to be more masculine. And the show has grown with the name change. And I'll tell you what, the audience has grown with the name change also. A little bit of trivia for you. At one time, back in the early days, The Chick Whisperer was actually the number one show in North America on iTunes in its category, and several times we had the number one episode in the entire category as well. And over the years, you know, a lot of bigger celebrities have come on, and the raw number of podcasts has increased. So perhaps the ironic thing is that even though, you know, we still pretty much sit in the top 25 in the category in North America, the size of the audience, the number of you listening to this show and supporting it, who we greatly appreciate, by the way, has just exponentially increased. And indeed, gentlemen, tell a friend if you enjoy this show. And we also hope you're enjoying this, pattern interrupt, as I call it, from the typical format of having co-hosts. Now, the first 9 episodes of The Chick Whisperer, I had the same co-host, and that was Steve the Dean Williams, of course, the legendary podcaster himself on men's issues, dating and relationships and masculinity. He and I co-hosted this show, so when we moved to a new format with rotating co-hosts, I kept the term co-host, and that's why after 300-plus episodes, I still refer to my guests as co-hosts on the show. And indeed, we've tried to keep it a discussion format rather than that boring, rote Q&A interview process. And over the years, you guys have told us that you've enjoyed that and appreciated it. So with that, let's go ahead and pick up where we left off with more hilarious and entertaining and, well, informative clips from the old days. We indeed pick up here with episode number 5. And let's just jump right in. Let's hit the ground running. Here's a fun clip which in at least one key way exposes exactly why I married my wife, Emily. You know, it's funny because I said to myself, you know, we're karaoke junkies over here, Emily and I.
So, absolutely.
Okay, the first woman who will do Paradise by the Dashboard Light by Meatloaf with me, I'm marrying her. And, you know, obviously I said that kind of facetiously, but that's how it happened. Emily will get up there, she'll do that whole bit, it's awesome. Matter of fact, I want very, very much to get Meatloaf on this show. I love it. The fact that he had a huge impact on who I married. I want to get the guy on the show. I know he's got a new album.
Right.
And I just think that would be a blast. But, you know, he's like in an ivory tower somewhere. So if anybody knows how to get a hold of Meatloaf's publicist, will you please email me at scott@datetoorder.com.
Yeah, that'd be cool. That'd
Outstanding be cool. stuff. I have to tell you, gentlemen, episode 5 was a pretty busy show with a whole lot of content in it. So I couldn't pick just a couple of clips from it. There are indeed going to be 4 clips from episode 5, so buckle up and get ready. The next one is the response Steve the Dean and I gave to a listener who left us a voicemail named John. And this is all about why it's more difficult to talk to women at bars than anywhere else. And yet, you know, if it doesn't go well, what if it really is our own fault? Check it out.
I understand that you have that problem, and again, it happens a lot when you go to bars. Women are more defensive, in my opinion, when it comes to bars because they're hit on more at bars, and they're getting a lot of more pickup lines and a lot of things to turn them off, so to speak. And when you're coming up to them straight up and direct, and sometimes they do get mad or angry or bitter. You know, Scott, when he said that he walks up to her and he talks to her, and, you know, like you said, she could have a bad day. Right. And that's where I give him a lot of credit from Scott, because a lot of these guys, they don't realize there's a lot of things that happen before that woman gets to the bar. And sometimes it may be good and sometimes it may be bad.
That's
and
right.
I won't give you the solution. I just want to see what you think first before we give solutions. But what do you think, man?
Well, I think there's a lot going on in this voicemail. Like you, I give John mad love for actually going up and talking to women at bars. He said he recognizes that he's a good-looking guy with a lot to offer a woman. Man, guys, having that confidence and having that swagger, man, that's job one. You get that taken care of, and you can be like our boy John and go up to women at bars and be ready for what happens next. I imagine that what happens to John doesn't happen all the time. He says he does pretty good with the women. It's just that one time every once in a while where she turns around and she's not so nice back. Maybe she says something snappy. Like you said, Dean, you know, women do have their guard up. They know that they're going to a bar. They're going to get hit on. They're ready to get hit on. They kind of are feeling it a little bit. You know what I mean? These women have a swagger of their own. And some of them really, especially if they've had that kind of bad day that both you guys have mentioned now, both you and John, you know, sometimes they may want to take it out on a guy or two. Now, here's where I think there's something to be learned from this particular voicemail. John says, well, hey, guys, you know, when this happens, I don't want to look like a fool. I got to get my masculine power back from this woman who has somehow robbed me of it by being mean and rude to me. Now, guess what? That's where I think it's time to reframe our mind a little bit. The more you stick around when a woman has already said she isn't interested for whatever reason, the more you're giving away your masculine power. The more you look like, hey, you know what? I've got to get the upper hand on this woman. The more you're looking needy, clingy, a little bit desperate, and sorely lacking confidence. Guys, once again, you got to stop looking at meeting women as a competition where either you're going to win because she accepts you or you're going to get beat by a girl if she rejects you. The way to have masculine power is to view yourself as the evaluator of every woman you're going to talk to. By that, what do we mean? We mean you're going up to her and saying, all right, she looks good on the outside, but I want to see what's under there. Once I find out what this woman's like, I'm going to make the decision whether to keep pursuing talking to her or not. And guys, when a woman's rude to you, you deserve better. There is no excuse at all for being rude to someone. I don't care if she's had a bad day. I don't care if her girlfriend's put her up to it, whatever the excuse is. If she's being less than a sweetheart to you, guess what? Next, you can do better. It's not about getting your masculine power by getting the upper hand. It's about coming in with enough masculine power to say, look, this is not a contest. I'm going to evaluate this woman because I'm a man, I wear the pants, and I'm in charge. And you know what? When she's mean or rude to you, you can say to her, hey, you know what? Thank you. Have a very nice life. Thanks for saving me the trouble. thanks for helping me make a decision early on here. Thanks. Peace out and move on. That's the way to retain masculine power. What do you say, Coach?
Absolutely right. You're absolutely right, Scott. And John, I just want to say, John, you're not a fool.
No.
You're not a fool. What you did, I have to give you, again, I give you all the credit in the world because you went over there and you talked to her. A woman, and it's not your problem. It's really her problem because a woman like that, if you go up to a woman like that and you speak to her and she has a bad attitude, do you really want to have a relationship with someone with that type of attitude, number one? And number two, the thing about it, and one thing I disagree with Scott, some of these guys deserve it because some of these guys are not being themselves.
Mm.
They're not being man about going up to the woman. They're coming up to them. They might try a corny pickup line. They might try to do some hypnosis. They might try a whole million and one things to try to get this woman's attention where it really gets on her nerves. And enough of that will get on somebody's nerves after a while. But what you did is what I always tell people to do, is you walk up to them and say hello with a smile. That's the best pickup line in the world. And if she has an attitude because you smiled at her and you said hello, well, then you need to say, okay, well, you know, I'm sorry. Hey, sorry for bothering you, you know. All I said was hello. I didn't say I wanted to sleep with you. I didn't say I wanted to have your kids or marry you. All I said was hello because you seem like you're a nice person to get to know. And maybe I was wrong. Excuse me. And just walk away and would always say, charge it to the game. You're not going to win them all. But you know what? What you're doing is an excellent thing. You're going up to women. And that's the first step. What you think, Scott?
Yeah, last time I heard hello was not a marriage proposal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know what? You said you disagree with me. But you know what? I don't disagree with you at all. If a guy is going to go up and be an idiot jerk to a woman, you know that I am merciless towards guys with an idiot jerk attitude.
Exactly.
I don't think that's to be confused with masculinity for a second. Now, way back in the old days, in the aughts, if you will, before there was ever social media, before there was ever really a strong Facebook presence in this world, we ran an X and Y Communications Chick Whisperer forum. You know, remember those? And it was an active forum with, oh man, tens of thousands of listeners back in the day. Can you imagine such a thing? Nowadays, the closest we have to it is the Mountaintop Summit Facebook group on Facebook, which is a very different environment, but still a lot of fun, of course. We had a post on the forum from a guy named Brandon who talked at length and asked a few questions about both the allure and the behavior of MILFs and cougars. And you know, Steve the Dean Williams and I were all about elaborating upon that. Enjoy this. I agree with them. Let's talk about the women first.
Oh, yeah.
Man, when the women hit 30, they act more like the stereotype of men than the stereotype of women. It's unbelievable. I mean, these women are almost as sex-focused as some of the stereotypical guys. I mean, they just want to hit it and quit it. Women over 30, especially divorced women, when the morals go out the door, you know, they don't have their virginity that they're saving up. You know, they may already have a kid or two. These women will use guys for sex. They're incredibly aggressive.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you'll be sitting across the table from dinner at them on a first date. They'll go, hey, how long are you going to make me wait?
Mm-hmm.
I've literally been asked that on a first date before. Meanwhile, you know, the guys are all, you know, young, dumb, and full of cum, right? Like we used to be. And I'm Brandon, you know, Brandon sounds like he's got a good head on his shoulder.
Right.
That's a stereotype. But, you know, they just want to go out and get some, right?
Yeah.
Maybe this is something, there's something to this as far as the whole MILF hunting thing, huh?
Well, you got to understand, it's a thing called cougars. I remember I saw that somewhere where you have older women that are looking for younger men. Older women have a higher sex drive when they get older. And also, you got to put in consideration after 30, I mean, the clock is ticking a little bit. And, you know, some of them women who don't have kids or what have you are looking to get a man. And they know what they have to get what they want. And I just want to say real quick, the reason this is going on is when a woman is, I guess, around 25 years old, she makes a decision. She has the tight body. She has the looks and all that. She's at the top of her game. Mm-hmm. She has a choice. She comes to a crossroads. Either she's going to go to the right and keep on partying and finding men and having a great time.
Or focusing on her career.
All right. Or she's going to go to the left and use what she has to hook a man in, get right. married, have kids, and so on.
Do the family thing.
Yeah, do the same. Exactly. So what you have now is a bunch of cougars and older women that, number one, they know they have a challenge with the younger 18, 19, and 21-year-olds coming up. Mm-hmm. So they have to kind of go out of the box. They can't do what the younger women do to kind of like, you know, Scott, give it up faster. You know, they got to give some competition.
Now, here it is. If you followed my work for a while, you know very, very clearly that I'm not necessarily on board with the idea that older men should definitely date younger women. I think there's a much better strategy than that, which almost nobody talks about. And the first time I ever remember talking about it at all was right here in episode 5. Check it out. Look for a woman who is closer to your age, but still gets carded. She still has a tight body, okay? She still looks good. She still acts with a lot of joy. She has the sparkle in her eyes. But hey, you know what? She's got a good credit rating. She can kick in a little bit, you know, to pay the bills every month. She can drink some wine with you or do some things a little bit older adults do. She's not going clubbing all the time. This is a great woman. Hey, I married one of these women. People think I robbed the cradle with her, and I look young for my age. Emily looks 22, 23. She's going to turn 36 this year. Has a great outlook on life, but again, very responsible. I don't feel like I'm babysitting this woman. Guys, if you're a little older, these women are out there. It's just unfortunate or fortunate, depending on how you want to look at it. Every time you go out to a bar or a club or, you know, you see the waitress, wherever you're picking up women, people don't have their age written over their head. But the mid-30s are a very, very strange age, Dean, because either you're going to age really well and it shows, or your face already looks like a leather catcher's mitt because you've been smoking and partying hard. There's 37-year-old women who look 60. I went out with a woman one time, said she was 36. I show up and there's June Carter Cash, okay?
Wow.
You know, this is not good. Meanwhile, the woman, same age, you know, had you met her somewhere other than online or not known her age, you may not even have walked up to her at a bar because you thought she was just a kid. I've dated women 35 years old who look 20. Matter of fact, I think I've dated all four of them on the planet.
Right.
There's others out there, guys. You just have to go look for them. Online's a real good place to find them because obviously your age is tacked on there, assuming people are honest about it. Although, if you can find someone mature who's younger, if you're an older guy, man, it makes sense to go out with women your own age who age well. Moving on to episode 6 of the Chick Whisperer podcast from 2007, here is a really fun clip where Steve the Dean Williams and I go around and around on why sex is like sales. And indeed, you know what? Sales should be about respect, not being pushy, right? Grab a listen. But the more masculine you are, the more feminine women you're going to get. And as soon as you stop focusing on sex and start focusing on the femininity of a woman, enjoying the femininity of a woman, you will start igniting women with an attraction towards you that makes sex a natural byproduct of that. But see, if you're trying to get the prize, you've forgotten to play the game. Just like in sales. You know, every guy listening to this can relate to what I'm about to say. Have you ever gone and bought a car or furniture or something? The salesperson is just pushing you to buy something now. They don't care about what you want. They just want their commission check. Guys, when you're pushing women for sex, when you're focusing on sex, it's like giving a woman a hard sell. And, you know, people love to buy stuff, but they hate to be sold, right? Meanwhile, you go in to buy a car, the same piece of furniture, whatever you're doing, right? And the person says, hey, let me help you out. What is it you're looking for? Well, you know, I can't decide whether to buy this pickup truck or that one. All right, well, you know what? This pickup truck does this, and this pickup truck does that. What's important to you? All right, well, this one, yeah, well, you know what? We have a deal on this one. You can get this one better price than that one, but you know the decision is yours, and I'm going to make sure you're happy no matter what. Next thing you know, this person is your consultant. This person isn't your sales guy. You buy what you want, and you thank the salesperson. You thank this person for helping you. Meanwhile, they're making their commission, and you're almost happy to give them your money. Guys, help the woman towards being with the kind of masculine man she wants to be with. Drop the sex focus. And you're going to get women who are ignited by you, and they will give you the sex as a byproduct of it. Stop focusing on that. Stop focusing on the sex. Start focusing on the woman. And you know what, Dean? Until a man learns to really like women and enjoy their presence and enjoy all those nuances that make femininity so great, not only is their sex life going to suffer, but they're never going to be able to get a long-term relationship with a woman that doesn't end up being boring to them.
Yeah, you have to understand women and have appreciation of women. Again, I mean, I know most of you guys who listen to my shows think I hate women. No, that's not the I love women.
Yeah, I love
matter of fact, I love women so much is once I'm reincarnated, I will turn into a lesbian. I will become one. But I have a great appreciation for women, and even my woman, who I've been with for almost 8 years now, have a wonderful appreciation for, because I understand and I know how the game is played. And once I found that person that was perfect for me, I knew it was time for me to retire, because I am very picky. I'm very choosy. I'm the opportunity. I'm the Fortune 500 club. And I put out hundreds of thousands of applications, and I only got one person. So I do appreciate women. I think you guys don't realize these women can be appreciated. But at the same time, appreciating a woman and giving your respect away to a woman are two totally different things. What do you think, Scott?
Yeah, absolutely. You've got to respect the woman, but you still got to be the man. You still got to wear the pants, and you still got to be masculine. And, you know, that comes all back down to igniting the femininity. Next comes a clip which, like so many others over the course of the history of this podcast, covers a completely different angle on a topic that, well, is talked about a lot by a lot of other dating gurus, but we put our own spin on it. This time, Steve the Dean Williams and I talk about why, you know, if you've got the right woman in your life, you should never get bored with her. Talked about how you've been with your woman for 7 years. You know, and I know you've got a beautiful wife as I got a beautiful wife. But neither one of us are bored with these women.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
And you know what? If it's just about the sex, we probably would have. Because, you know, just like I challenged the guy I'm working with, I said, hey, you know what? If you go and you look at porno movies on the internet, and you pick out the hottest, sexiest one that's in front of you, how much are you going to watch of that one woman before you click it off and go find another woman? I bet you it's not more than 10 minutes.
Absolutely.
Why? Because you're already bored with her. Guys, you can only do it with a woman 10, 12 times before you know what's going to be like with this woman and you're going to be wanting sexual variety. Yet, there's plenty of guys out there who have wonderful long-term relationships, even monogamous long-term relationships with a woman, and they're thrilled to be there. Why? Because sex is one piece of a huge jigsaw puzzle that is having your life completed by a great woman. If it's just about the sex, you're done, you're cooked, and you will never be happy and you will never be satisfied.
People who are in long-term relationships can also heighten the sex, you know, their sex lives. I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. Yeah, you can always do something to spice it up, and you need to do that. But at the end of the day, it's because you have a partnership, you have a relationship.
Yes.
You enjoy how this feminine person interacts with you. You enjoy how you come home and have the stability of having this person in your life. She does those things for you, like rub your back, take care of the laundry, talk to you in this sweet feminine manner that you just don't get from the old boys at work or when you go out and drinking, you know?
Right.
And you have this thing in your life called a relationship, and it's because the woman gives you so much more than just the sexuality. And, you know, I agree with you, Dean, the sex gets better because of that. You know, 15 years ago, it was very much the practice for guys who were giving out dating and relationship and sex and seduction advice to other guys to hide their identity, to go by a pen name, to call themselves Fart Knocker PUA or something like this. It was an underground movement, and it was widely believed that if women knew what was being taught out there in the pickup community, they'd be, well, resistant to it, and probably for good reason. So that brought up the question, hey, what do women think of the Chick Whisperer podcast? What do they think of everything we're talking about around here? Well, here's a hint before we get to this first clip from episode 7. This is not and has never been a quote-unquote underground community, so we've never had quote-unquote underground conversations. Why? Because we're speaking the truth. when it comes to dynamics between men and women and how to truly succeed with women, because they like us and want us and are receptive to us, not because we trick them or anything like that. Get a load of this. We're getting more and more women who are not just listening to this show, but actually reading the newsletter, signing up for what we've got going on with X and Y. And they're sending me emails going, hey, you know what? You are the chick whisperer. You understand women, and we love what you're telling the guys around here. And you know what, Dean? I think sometimes you hear from some of the guys who are teaching guys how to get better with women. It's like we're having this clandestine conversation, and we don't want the women to hear what we're scheming about in terms of how to be better with women or not. Well, you know what? I think it's almost like a yardstick of whether you're telling the truth or not about how to be good with women, whether you care or not, whether the women are actually listening in.
Yeah, I absolutely do. I just don't understand why being yourself and just talking to a woman is so not the right thing to do. You know, it's the worst thing to do, you know?
If you have to hide what you're telling guys on how to be better with women from women, chances are it's not going to work.
It's a trick.
I mean, come on. This is where all the tricks and all the snake oil comes in. If you don't want women to know about what you're teaching guys, it's not going to work, fellas. If women are saying, hey, you know what, McKay? Absolutely. You tell guys what you're telling them, because we need more guys like what you're going out there and try to bring to us. The guys that are going to listen to what you and the dean are saying in terms of becoming better men, being men of character, being more masculine, and what you're saying that masculinity is all about. Man, where are all these guys? One woman actually said to me, I should even read this email here, but I'd have to go back and dig it up. She said, hey, you know what? Could you please send me your mailing list? Because I want to meet all these guys who are reading your stuff, because that's exactly the kind of guy I want. And Emily got the biggest kick out of that.
Oh, that is funny.
Oh, yeah. It's freaking great, isn't it? But you know what, guys? I wanted to throw that in. Women are approving of what we're talking about around here. And some of you guys call me up and cringe going, oh, my gosh, shouldn't I be a gentleman at the end of a date instead of kissing her? Guys, if that woman wants to be kissed, you do the gentlemanly thing and you give that woman what she needs. You kiss that woman. You're not doing anything by backing off. Now, in the next clip, we turn to addressing an age-old question. How long do you wait to contact a woman after you've got her number? Well, listen to these, dare I say, counterintuitive answers to that question that Steve the Dean and I have to offer.
Yeah, I think 4 to 7 days is way too long because, again, you got to, like you were saying before, you have a lot of guys after this woman's attention and her affection.
That's right.
And once you wait 4 to 7 days, you just become a number in the system.
That's right.
She doesn't really remember you. It's hard to say, wait, I remember this guy. Wait, do I remember this guy? Who is this guy? You know, basically that's what you
get. Exactly.
And I've always thought that it's not about how many days you wait. It's about what you're saying that makes the email concrete, because you can wait 4 to 7 days. Hey, you can wait 2 weeks. And if you have nothing good to say that gets her interest or sparks her interest, you lost.
I agree with you 100%. If this woman's getting inundated with attention online, 7 days, absolutely too long.
Too long.
I don't usually get into this whole rigmarole like you're saying, Dean, about, you know, what should I do? How much time should I take? Do I wait 3 days to call her or email or whatever?
Yeah.
That's just a game, you know?
Yes.
But, you know, right here, obviously, you can't do it 10 minutes later saying, what, are you playing hard to get?
No.
She actually hasn't had time not to respond yet.
Right.
So, basically, I would give it at least 48 hours. I'm thinking 72, because, I mean, you know, you've got to give someone at least 3 days to respond to you. But I would do it right on the fourth day, third day or fourth day max. I wouldn't let it hang out for a week. It's kind of a touchy subject, but I think you kind of have to time it right. And to me, that time is about 3 to 4 days, because, again, you can't be forgotten. You can't let it hang out there too long, but you can't just get on top of it and look especially needy or clingy by getting right on it. I mean, 10 minutes later, hey, where are you? Aren't you going to talk to me? Moving on to episode 8, we have another guest joining us. That was none other than Joseph W. South from the old but long since pod-faded show Joseph Went South. Now, at the time, that show, Joseph Went South, hosted by Joseph W. South, was ever bit as popular in many ways as the Chick Whisperer podcast was. So it made perfect sense for Joseph and I to invite each other as guests on each other's respective show. And in the case of our show with Steve the Dean Williams, that made him the second guest ever to appear on the Chick Whisperer. And one of the first topics we addressed was the problem associated with so-called serial dating. Man, there's a whole lot to take in here. So as my man Steve the Dean Williams himself would say, get your crayons out. Let's say a guy's got this history of dating one woman at a time. In other words, hey, I found this woman either online by bumping shopping carts at a bar or a club. I've got her number. I've asked her out. We're going to go on a date, and I'm putting all my eggs in this chick's basket, either literally or figuratively, right? What is going to happen when a guy does that? What can a guy expect in that situation? What are some scenarios that a guy might encounter?
All right. There's a couple of problems with that. I'm 38 years old now, and I figure that to really get to know a woman, you know, it can take up to 6 months or a year even. And you want to find the one. I think that's my goal anyways. I want to find, you know, a special woman that I can settle down with and have a family with. And if you go through this process of spending 6 months or a year to get to know someone, and then you realize, you know, the person's not that good for you in the end, and then you got to start all over again.
Right.
And another thing happens is you get chemically addicted to the person that you're sleeping with. And so it can be very painful to break up with someone even when you know that they're no good for you.
Wow. Yes, because then you have to go start all over again. And when you're focusing on one person at a time, doing the serial dating thing, then what ends up happening is you say to yourself, gosh, that's just too much work. I think I'll settle for this bad relationship that I'm in rather than having to go do all that heavy lifting all over again.
You never put all your eggs in one basket. That's one of the common laws and rules that you should always have. Don't put all your eggs in one basket unless you know about the chicken first.
Huh.
And the thing is that most guys have to realize that there are two types of compatibility when it deals with relationships with women. You have the type of compatibility that you have when you're outside of the bedroom, outside the house, when you're dating, when she's coming over and sleeping over at night and she's going home. You have that type. And then you have another type of compatibility when the person moves in with you. Then you really learn about the person. So if you're not really sure about the person, don't put everything in there because you have nothing to fall back on.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, I think there's a couple other dangers that sometimes go unnoticed. First of all, when you are dating one woman at a time, and Joseph, you know, I think you're kind of hitting on this. You're kind of on the edge of hitting this. You just, you know, life's too short to learn quickly enough at that rate what it is you really want in a woman. I mean, if you're just saying, all right, I'm going to see how far it goes with this particular woman, then you are not learning about what it is you truly want in a woman rather than what you think you want in a woman. You know, we've talked about this before. You say to yourself, okay, I know what my type is. I want a woman who's got, you know, dark hair and she's about this tall and she's in a shrinking violet. She's kind of, you know, a little bit on edge and she'll banter with me a little. Then you get with this woman and she's in your face all the time and you realize, hey, you know what? I think maybe I'd really rather have a sweetheart.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to have to go date a sweetheart to figure out if that's what you really want. And like I said, life's too short. You've got to spend some time getting to know a bunch of different women. You don't have to be sexually involved or even emotionally involved with all these women, but you have to get to know some women so you can know what that one great woman is going to look like when you meet her, when you recognize her. The other thing is, and I think this is particularly poignant, when a guy is throwing all his eggs in one girl's basket, there may not be yet any kind of agreement to have an exclusive relationship, which means she could be dating a bunch of different guys.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is she's going to naturally be a woman who has options, and the guy is naturally going to be a man who does not, even if it's by choice.
Yep.
So he is going to naturally start looking like he is putting more attention towards this one woman. I mean, how can he possibly avoid it, right? He's going to start saying to the woman things like, hey, you know what? We're seeing each other once a week. Let's start seeing each other twice a week. And the woman's going, well, you know, I'm really very busy.
Right.
I've got a lot going on. And he's going to say, well, you know what? I'm starting to really like you. I've got plans for you. Here, let me buy you some flowers. Let me do this. Let me do that. I'm starting to become really attached to you. You may say this directly or indirectly.
Yeah.
And what goes on from there is the woman starts thinking, all right, well, I've got this guy wrapped around my finger. I own this guy. Meanwhile, I've got options. And famously, that's bad news for any guy, isn't it?
It's totally bad news, yeah.
Now, much later in this episode, after a lot of water had flowed under the bridge, we turned our attention to how do you know when you found the right one, the right woman in your life? And here's the hint. It involves having options first. But what happens when the women who aren't the right woman for you ultimately just don't want to get out of your life. Well, this is the first ever talk of the concept of charm throttling, which has over the years become, well, a core tenet of my teaching when it comes to what happens when you've started succeeding with women. There's a lot packed into this very brief clip. Enjoy. Look, you can get sick of this. Mm-hmm. It can become enough. Even if you are enjoying all this sexual variety, you're going to say to yourself one day, you know what? Out of all these women I've been with, I have one who is absolutely the one I would spend every night with if I could, over and above my other choices. When I'm hanging out with these other three women, I'm still thinking about that other one. And that's when you know you're on the right track to making a very real, educated, valuable decision to pick one and have an exclusive relationship with.
And I'll ask you two guys a question real quick. Have you ever had the situation, because I've always dealt with this, where you put it down so well in the bedroom that you can't get rid of them?
Yeah.
I'm going to play the fifth, Williams.
Oh, hey, I'm telling you, fellas, when you have a bunch of women, you guys get your crayons out who don't understand this, but if you have more than one woman, and you have a group of them, don't give your all to every one of them, because the worst mistake you can possibly make. You control the board, but it's one of the worst mistakes you can possibly make.
No, I agree with that totally. You know, they can actually start to go a little bit crazy if you do it so well, and then you're not going to see them for another week or 10 days, and they're just thinking about you all the time, you know, and blowing up your phone, and it's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
And now we've come to the last episode we're going to cover as part of this retrospective. This was indeed the last episode ever co-hosted with Steve the Dean Williams, episode 9. And man, was it a barn burner. Steve the Dean and I decided to address a ridiculous article that was online about how men will do better with women if they wear candy necklaces to the club. This piece is called The Candy Necklace. The next time you're at a nightclub or a dance, wear candy necklaces. The girls love it. You can even use it as an excuse to approach girls. Just ask them if they want a bite. There's one problem to this idea, though. If you sweat, the necklace will get all soggy. But other than that, it's a great way to get a girl's attention.
Where's this boy's daddy at?
What did you say?
Where's his father at?
Where's his father?
Yeah, where's this guy's dad at?
Well, I don't know, but obviously he wasn't raised right.
Yes, somebody needs to shake this kid, because, you know, it just gets under my skin when you hear all these guys come up with all these kooky gimmicks to meet a woman just to get her phone number. It's ridiculous.
You know, I think the key here is he uses the word girls 3 times and doesn't use the word women at all.
Where is he? Is he going to Chuck E. Cheese and trying to pick up women? Hey, little girl. Hey, look at my candy. Bite on my candy.
Hey, little girl. Want some candy? Yeah, guys. You know, this all falls back into the whole peacocking thing. The latest thing I saw that was really, really kind of nice was I saw a bikini made out of candy necklace. That was kind of interesting. But guys, you know, save the candy necklaces. Save anything that is some kind of cheap attempt to get a girl's attention, especially something that is as pedantic as wearing a candy necklace. I mean, it's okay to go around and have some fun. It's okay to be a little off the charts and being different. It's okay to be unique, but I would not recommend wearing a candy necklace to a bar or a club. Guys, if you're wearing a candy necklace to a club and you're getting a girl to take a bite of your neck because you offered her some candy, first of all, is this the kind of woman you're wanting to attract? Are you attracting girls or are you attracting women? Second of all, are you going to be able to keep this up? Are you going to wear a candy necklace your entire life? Are you going to be able to take that persona that you've used to hide behind in meeting a woman, and are you going to be able to live up to it long term? The answer, of course, is no. It's all a big game. It's
just
not
take
reality.
The L off their forehead. Tell them to take the L off the forehead. That's weak. And I'm telling you, if you put candy around your neck to get a woman's attention, you just need to stay home.
Now, later in the episode, we turned to a much more serious topic. And that's this. If I look at other women, does that mean I shouldn't be with my girlfriend because I'm not focused enough on her? And am I shallow for looking at beautiful women in general? Well, Steve the Dean and I came to the rescue of that stinking thinking in dramatic fashion. I'll tell you what. And you know what? That reminds me of something. Back in the day, back when those of us who were giving men's dating advice on an international level were kind of the OGs in the quote unquote internet influencer world before everybody became one, I got roasted pretty hard on a very well-traveled blog for men who were seeking dating advice for saying, "I'll tell you what," all the time. And I got kind of elbowed for that Texanism in me. And you know what? I'll freely admit I still say it to this day a whole lot. So I'll tell you what. I think Steve the Dean and I put a pretty good spin on this that can make all of you listening either back then or nowadays feel a whole lot better about yourselves if you're ever accused of being shallow by a woman. Check it out. Let's go to email. Got an email this week from a gentleman who would like to remain anonymous. It goes like this. It's very short. There's a few things on my mind. One of them is sometimes I feel like I'm wasting my time with my current relationship. I still look at other women. So is that a sign we shouldn't be together? Signed, anonymous. What do you think about that, Dean?
I think it's very healthy to look at other people. I don't see any problem with it. My wife sometimes sees gorgeous men, and sometimes she loves George Clooney. She thinks Clooney's hot. She thinks Johnny Depp's hot. She sees gorgeous women. It, you know, people love beautiful things. It's not a bad thing to look at it, and you shouldn't get chastised, in my opinion, for looking at other women. I mean, there's one thing to look at other women. There's another thing to react on those types of emotions. You can appreciate a woman, then look at the woman you have and appreciate her. I do that all the time. Right. So no, I definitely don't see a problem with it.
Yeah. You know, I have access to a report. I found it on the web. That proves scientifically that men are hardwired to look at pretty women. Men are visual. We can't help it. When we see a woman who turns us on sexually, we are going to look. And women who chastise a guy they're with for that, and women who are so jealous and so insecure that they have an incredible meltdown anytime that happens, which something tells me is feeding the source of this email, by the way. I think that those women are acting irrationally in a relationship. A healthy relationship is where both parties know that they're there by choice, not by coercion. If I saw a pretty woman and I wanted her more than my wife, then I would have been with her. But I didn't. After being a man with a lot of options in the dating world, I chose my wife and she chose me. She had lots of options too. So when we go around and we appreciate, as you and your wife do, Dean, we go around and we appreciate people who look good, and we can share about that. We can talk about it. And it's not unhealthy. It's a natural part of existence. Just like we had another email that we talked about in my newsletter, and the guy goes, "Hey, you know, am I shallow to want a woman who's beautiful to me?" Because a lot of women are saying, "Hey, you know, you need to look deeper than the outside. You need to look at what's in a woman's heart, not just what's on her outside." Guys, if you spend the rest of your life with a woman who's not attractive to you sexually, you're going to be miserable. You know, and I tell women when they say, "Look, I want a guy who makes enough income, who has a good enough job to provide for me and my family. Does that make me a gold digger?" No, it doesn't make her a gold digger. It makes her archetypically a woman. Looking for a man who can be a provider. That's what women are attracted to. Men are attracted to women who look good. There are indicators in a woman's physique that she's going to be healthy to bear children. We look at this from a biological perspective. Did you know, for example, Dean, that a 7-to-10 ratio waist to hips is optimal to men regardless of a woman's weight?
No, I didn't know that.
A man is more likely to see a woman as attractive if there's a 7-to-10 ratio between waist and hips. It's biological. Amazing. Like, for example, Marilyn Monroe wore some crazy dress size like 13 or 14, but she had a 7-to-10 ratio between waist and hips, and men were crazy for her. So it didn't even matter that she was a little heavier. So then you've got situations where a guy falls for this from a woman, says, "Hey, you know what? I'm being a little shallow. Maybe I should go ahead and marry this woman, even though I'm not really physically attracted to her because, you know, she's great in every other way." What happens 6 months into that marriage? Your head snaps around to look at another woman, and what does your new wife say? "Hey, what are you doing? Why are you looking at other women? Don't you think I'm the most beautiful woman in the world?" And your answer has to be yes, but it's not. And that's another way that guys get roped into relationships when they deserved better. Guys, you have every right to get the kind of woman you want. And if you're in a relationship where you're looking at other women and your girlfriend is really jealous about that, That says something to me about her self-esteem. Now, look, if you're ogling them and you're flirting with them and you're being generally disrespectful to your woman, that's a completely different situation. But see, Dean, I don't hear that in this email. So there you have it. We've finally come to the end of this retrospective on the first 9 episodes of the Chick Whisperer podcast. Gentlemen, I hope you've enjoyed listening to this as much as I greatly enjoyed curating this set of clips for you from those episodes. I'll tell you what, there I go again, right? As you listened, I'm sure you noticed plenty of consistency over the past 15 years in terms of what the message is that we deliver around here. But I'm sure you noticed there's been plenty of evolution also. Interspersed in those clips you just heard were terms like passing tests and Kino, etc., which were big time buzzwords, big time topics of conversation back in the day. But one thing that the Chick Whisperer podcast has always been, and the Mountaintop podcast always will be, is both entertaining and informative for you guys. It's all about becoming a better man and having a whole lot of fun doing it. Again, gentlemen, I appreciate every one of you who have supported this show for 15 years. And if you indeed like what you've heard in these past 2 episodes, I have the full and complete 9-episode collection featuring Steve the Dean Williams as co-host for you at mountaintoppodcast.com/lost episodes. And they're all yours for a donation of $27 to the future development of this podcast. I appreciate you heading to that link and checking it out. And most certainly, I absolutely appreciate every one of you gentlemen who have listened over the years and continue to support this show. Every week, we'll continue to bring you a new show, an exciting show with wonderful handpicked guests on the kind of topics that you look forward to the most and that you are demanding the most that I cover for you. And that will all start next week again with another show with another great guest. In the meantime, please go visit mountaintoppodcast.com where you can download a free copy of my book, Sticking Points Soft, and also get on my calendar to talk to me for free about 25 minutes about whatever it is you want to talk about. I'm here for you. I'm exactly who you think I'm going to be, especially having heard me talk 15 years ago. I've become a little bit more evolved in my thinking, but I'm still the same guy, and I look forward to talking to you. Go ahead and sign up on my calendar at mountaintoppodcast.com using the little red button at the upper right-hand corner. And until I talk to you again real soon with a brand new episode of The Mountaintop next week, this is Scott McKay from X&Y Communications in San Antonio, Texas. Be good out there.
The Mountaintop Podcast is produced by X&Y Communications. All rights reserved worldwide. Be sure to visit www.mountaintoppodcast.com for show notes. And while you're there, sign up for the free X&Y Communications newsletter for men. This is Ed Roy Odom speaking for The Mountaintop Podcast.